Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, while Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine aromatic nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then Judas the Iscariot, one of his disciples, and the one who would betray him, said, "Why was this oil not sold and for 300 days' wages and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contributions. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd of the Jews found out that he was there and came, not only because of him, but to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This first weekday of the holiest week of the year, the Church frames this week both from God's perspective as well as from our perspective. It's done in two homages and two anointings. First anointing is the anointing done by God of Jesus. The greatest prophecies about Jesus' sufferings are what you call the four suffering servant songs. Four parts in the prophet Isaiah's writings that all refer to what Jesus would do this week. First one we're going to get today, second tomorrow, third on Wednesday, and the fourth and final, and most specific of all, on Good Friday. It helps us to see exactly what God had wanted from the beginning in order to save us. So today we hear that homage from God the Father in the anointing. God the Father says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I'm well pleased." We heard those words at Jesus' baptism. "Upon whom I have put my Spirit, whom I have anointed with the Holy Spirit." We saw that at Jesus' baptism. Then it describes the mission he would be given and that he would fulfill. "He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the streets." We know that occasionally Jesus did shout, but he didn't shout on Good Friday, which is what this is describing. He didn't even make his voice heard as he was carrying the cross through the streets. A bruised reed he didn't break. He was meek. Smoldering wick he wouldn't quench until he establishes justice on the earth. That justice would be coming as the price of his sacrifice. He said that his mission would be to open the eyes of the blind, to bring prisoners out from confinement, and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. That's all what Jesus would be doing this week. He wasn't doing it alone. God the Father said, "I, the Lord, have called you for this victory of justice. I've grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant for the people and a light for the nations." Jesus wasn't just going to establish a covenant. He was going to be that covenant, that new and eternal covenant. That's what's happening this week from God's perspective. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit precisely to do this. To be a light not of revelation to the Jews alone, but to all nations, including to us, so that we might be led out from our self-imposed imprisonment to sin, so that we might be led out of our dungeon from the darkness into light. That's why on Easter, the Easter Vigil, we're going to have so much about the light of the Lord. But in order for us to appreciate that light, we first got to acknowledge the darkness. That's where we begin. And in the responsorial psalm, which again is the rejoinder to the first reading, we cry out, "You, Lord, are my light and my salvation." That's precisely what the Lord is doing, saving us by His light this week. What should our response be to that incredible gift? The unbelievable outpouring of love by God for us. Nothing short of lavish love in return. And that's what we see in the gospel today, which is why the church gives it to us. Jesus is invited over to Martha, Mary, and Lazarus' house for dinner. Jesus probably stayed there during the Passover. If all the Jews flooded into Jerusalem and they didn't have many places to stay, Bethany, just 2 miles outside, was one of the places prescribed that people could stay for the overflow. So that's probably how Jesus became such good friends with this family. But it's there that Mary took a jar of costly aromatic spikenard. It was a fragrant herb, and the only way you'd get the oil from the little herb is to crush the herb. Just think about how many leaves of this herb would need to be crushed in order to make a liter of this. It was incredibly expensive. 300 days' wages, Judas said that it was worth. Judas, as Fulton J. Sheen used to say, knew the price of everything but the value of nothing. This was worth 4 times more than he would sell Jesus out for. 30 silver pieces would be 90 days' wages. This was 300 days' wages. What a waste it seemed to Judas's calculations. But it wasn't a waste at all for Mary. She poured it all out, not upon Jesus' head, which is the way people were ordinarily anointed. She was too humble for that. She poured it out over his feet and then took her downer here, which is a sign of total commitment for a woman, and dried off his feet with her here. Unbelievably lavish love for the Lord. And when Judas criticized her publicly for this, just think about that. This woman's loving Jesus and Judas publicly makes a scene. Jesus defended her. "Leave her alone," he said. "Let her keep this for the day of my burial." She was anointing him for burial. "You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." Incredibly important line that we've got to grasp. And it's not just about the fact that there will always be poor people, precisely so that we're required to share, to care for them. The much larger point is, we should never, ever, 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 ever take Jesus for granted. You're always going to have problems. You're always going to have difficulties. You're always going to have so many other good things to do. But don't make those things more important than me, Jesus is saying. Just a few days, he was going to be taken away from them. A lot of the times, we can take Jesus for granted. We can say, "Hey, listen, I've just got so many errands to run. Jesus, I'll squeeze you in at the end of the day if I'm not too exhausted." No, Jesus is saying, "I come first." We might say, "Hey, I've got a really hectic week. I've got guests coming over for Easter." Great, I'm happy that you have guests. But there's something far more important here. The reality is, this might be the last holy week of our life. We can't say that we've got 20 or 30 or 50 or 60 to go. This may be the last holy week of our life. Today may be the last day of our life. We need to prioritize the Lord. And we need to love Him lavishly. How do we do that? We're not going to bring in a liter of costly aromatic spikenard from the Middle East to anoint Father Nick's feet. But how do we anoint Jesus' feet? Mary of Bethany teaches us. first thing she did in another dinner that they had for Jesus was just to sit at His feet and listen to Him. Martha was working so hard in the kitchen all because she loved the Lord Jesus. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She was doing something really good. But there was something even more important. And when Martha complained to Jesus, "Tell her to help me," Jesus responded, "She's chosen the better part, and it won't be taken away from her because only one thing is necessary." This week, the first way we anoint Jesus' feet is by sitting at His feet in contemplative prayer like Mary of Bethany shows us. We've got to make the time. This is a week in which we should do everything we can to try to carve out at least an hour for prayer. Count the half hour here at Mass as part of that if you don't have the other time, but make out the time just to sit and let Jesus feed you as He wanted to feed Martha and Mary in their house. Second way we anoint Jesus' feet is equally as important. The way we anoint His feet is by following His footsteps. Jesus says, "If anyone wishes to serve me, let him follow me, so that where I am, my servant may be." St. Peter said, Christ did this, leaving us an example so that we might follow in His footsteps. That's what this Holy Week is all about. The more we sit contemplatively at His feet, the more we're inspired by Him to get up on our feet and follow Him along this path of lavish love we call Christianity. Today, as we come forward here, we remember that there are always going to be Judases. There are always going to be people who say that Jesus isn't worth it. Time in prayer is not worth it. Time coming to daily Mass is not worth it. Time serving the poor isn't worth it. So many other more important things to do. There are always going to be people like that. But we want to be people like Mary of Bethany. She frames this entire Holy Week for us. As we prepare to receive that suffering servant, that light of the nations, the new and eternal covenant whom God has anointed and sent in order to save us, to lead us from darkness and captivity into the light, let us anoint Him ourselves with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, with our prayer and with our ardent discipleship, following Jesus up close this week, all the way to Calvary and through Calvary to the eternal Jerusalem, where St. Mary still sits at His feet, adoring Him forever.